Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is October 21st, 2012. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city, look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help with something or you need a prayer after this program, call me. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or your message. And I'll pray for you or with you, or I'll take care of whatever it is. If it's information that you need, like you folks that are out there listening on radio, I know some of you still don't use the internet. So feel free to call this phone number to ask about our guest or anything else that you might hear or that you may need help with. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And for you folks that can't get on the internet, you can always find our updates with the breaking news, our radio programs, the archives, our ministry, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. Of course, you put that www thing in front of it, but if you just hit prophecyhour.com, you're going to pull up a lot. Anyway, also, do not forget that I will pray for you if you need to, so call me. I do get people that call and ask me for prayers from all across the country. Anyway, now prayer, and then we'll get on with tonight's great program, really. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not will, my will or my guest's will. But please give us all ears in which to hear the truth and do bless our guest tonight for what he is doing. Amen and amen. Well, when I just about thought I heard it all, I saw this article on WorldNet Daily by Jerome Crosey, Obama's Ring. There is no God but Allah. It seems the ring, that is, the ring he's wearing for his wedding ring, has this inscription on it. In fact, this is the same ring that he wore in college. Well, then I was getting ready to interview Jerome on the ring, and I saw this article by Jerome on WorldNet Daily today, named Al-Qaeda Men Who Killed the Ambassador. WorldNet Daily has a 270-page intelligence report in Arabic originating from Libya that names specific Al-Qaeda operatives in Libya as being responsible for the murder of the U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens. And you would, without NATO's intervention, this man would not be dead. Well, now let's hurry up and get it on, get Jerome on with us, because if he may write something while he's waiting. You never can tell with this guy. Jerome has a PhD from Harvard in political science, and he serves as a senior staff reporter for online news giant WorldNet Daily. And if you don't subscribe to WorldNet Daily, you should really should. It's free. Go over there and sign up for their emails. And now let's bring on Jerome. Jerome, glad to have you back with me.
Pastor Dan, good to be back with you. Thank you.
Well, you're quite a guy to keep up with. As I kind of mentioned it to you before radio program, but you're just, it's one thing to the next, and I know WorldNet Daily is a stupendous place for news, because the regular news media just doesn't seem to report anything, does it?
No, it's really, you can't, you know, the mainstream media has gotten to be such a political press. New York Times is supporting Obama. It's just really like reading the old Pravda in Russia, communist Russia. They wouldn't write anything negative about Joseph Stalin or Nikita Khrushchev, or tell you the truth. It was a political newspaper, and that's what the New York Times has become.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I remember those Cold War years. I know we have a whole generation. We have one or two generations. Do we even want to say that don't know anything about that, you know? But I remember growing up watching.
I know. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. But, you know, the kids need to go back and study these periods of time because we'll repeat the same problem. We're doing it again. Except this time, we've got the political media. I never expected in my lifetime we'd have such a political media that would be doing the bidding of the, you know, the politicians. The mainstream media is the lapdog of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it really amazes me. I remember when the media exposed Nixon, you know, and Watergate and all that. And this media is just silent. But let's go on with this, and then we're going to talk more about the media in the second part when we talk about those Liberty reports. But Obama's ring, you know, I put that up, a link to the article at World Net Daily on our blog, and I've had tons and tons of hits. People want to know what's going on. Take us into it.
Well, it's a very interesting story. I mean, I had begun to, back in July, I was looking at the pictures of Obama, and I mean, I'd seen many of these pictures over and over again. I was looking at the picture where Obama's in Columbia, and he's sitting there on the park bench by Central Park with his grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it suddenly kind of jumped out at me that I realized he had a wedding ring on, you know, the left hand, his wedding ring finger, he's got a gold band. And I said, well, I didn't remember that Obama was married when he was at Columbia. Why is he wearing a wedding ring? So I started researching, and I found out that Obama was wearing this wedding ring in every picture I could find. I mean, going back to when he was in Occidental College in 1981. And, you know, Obama's right at that time, he's just in his, he's just 20 years old. He's wearing this ring on his left hand and wedding ring finger, and continuously through, when he went to Africa, he's there with Grandma Sarah. He's wearing the ring. And it's funny, Pastor Dan, because I'd seen these pictures, you know, really for years, right, been watching them, looking at them, and I just never noticed the wedding ring. I missed it entirely.
Well,
which I guess is easy to do.
Right. I do know that you've been pointing out the wedding ring without this other information for quite some time, though.
And so, well, and that's when I realized that Harvard had worn it. He wouldn't answer any questions. So what happened was then I got a really clear picture of the wedding ring at Occidental, and I realized it was the same wedding ring that Obama used when he married Michelle. He didn't get a new ring for Michelle. He used this one. He's been wearing since 1981, they decided to take a hard look at the ring and figure out why it was so important. And I shared it with a couple of Arabic speakers, and they said, well, that ring's got Allah written on it in Arabic script. I said, what are you talking about? They pointed it out to me, and we sent the ring over to some real experts that, you know, have spent their careers, are born in the Middle East, and they said that's not just the saying, you know, no God but Allah, which is there, but that's really the beginning of a prayer called the Shahada, which is the primary prayer of faith in Islam. It's got two parts to it. There's no God but Allah. The second part is, and Muhammad is his messenger. Well, on this ring that Obama's wearing is the first part of the Shahada. It says in Arabic letters, there is no God but Allah. And I was about floored when I found that out. I mean, that was, I had no idea that the ring was important because it had this statement. That's the only statement someone needs to make to convert to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Say there is no God but Allah. And here Obama's got it on a ring that he's been wearing now for 30 years. And to me, it was astounding, because you know all the speculation had been, I've written about, Obama was educated as a Muslim in Indonesia, and he certainly has acted, tilted against Israel, and toward the radical Muslims in the Middle East. And so I was, you know, saying, well, maybe this ring provides additional evidence that Obama's really been Muslim all this time.
Right. Well, let me go with my first reaction or question about your reaction. When they first told, I mean, when you first found out this, did this really just astonish you, or did you just kind of think?
Yes, it astonished me. I was the last thing in the world I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
I couldn't believe it. Said it's got Allah written on it. I said, what do you mean it's got Allah written on it? I mean, I figured, at first I thought, Pastor, I thought this is a homosexual thing.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was all about. You know, I thought he was married to some guy or something.
Yeah, I mean, or he's either married to his boyfriend roommate.
Yeah.
Or he didn't want girls bothering him because he wasn't interested in women. So he puts on a wedding ring in his left hand, his wedding ring finger, as a sign to women, keep away.
Right.
Now, that was my first thought.
Right.
But then when we really identified the ring, and I said it's the same one from marriage that he had Michelle give him for his marriage, and an Arabic speaker looked at it and said there's Allah on that ring written, I just, you know, it floored me. That was not at all what I expected was going to happen.
Well, you know what, to first folks think about this, look how that's brazen. I mean, to wear it on his finger and act like nobody's
right.
going to notice it?
Right. Yeah, it's like, you know, none of you are smart enough here to speak Arabic, and you don't, to me, it just all looks like squiggly lines, and the ring, it always looked like just a pattern, you know, like it was nothing there but a pattern, and it wasn't until I showed it to, you know, Islamic believers who knew what the significance, it's a common phrase, it's all, once I learned about it,
mm-hmm.
The Shahada is on jewelry all over the world, worn by Muslim men and women, especially in places like Indonesia. It is on the internet. There's a prohibition against men wearing jewelry in Islam. Well, it's really not so. Certainly in places like Indonesia, Islamic men wear jewelry.
Right.
And the saying, there's no God but Allah, is all over jewelry, all over the Middle East. Women wear it. They wear it on necklaces. It's on wall hangings. I mean, everywhere you go, you see the saying, there's no God but Allah.
Right. I have it written down here. I gleaned from the article. It says, Muslims recite the Shahada, I guess that's how you pronounce it, when they wake up in the morning.
Yep, I think so.
And before they go to sleep at night. It's repeated 5 times every day in the call to prayer every month. Now, why in heaven's name, well, there, this last statement, a single honest recantation of the Shahada in Arabic is all that's required for a person to convert to Islam. Now, what can you, if this man proclaims to be a Christian, how could he even have something like this in his possession, let alone on his wedding ring finger?
I'm a Christian. I'm never going to wear anything that says there's no God but Allah. It's not going to happen.
Well, right.
I'm never going to wear anything like that.
I mean, you know, come on. The word of the Lord tells us that we're not even supposed to really mention pagan names, but, you know, wear it on his, you know, that's quite significant. It's like he's wearing it on his ring finger, you know what I mean, his wedding ring finger, you know. That, to me, says more than just a casual, well, I respect the God of Allah, you know, that sounds to me like that, you know, he's proclaiming that he is Muslim. What do you think?
Well, it certainly would, I mean, that's my first assumption after I learned what it meant. People say, oh, maybe this ring just has emotional significance, maybe it was given to him by, I'd say nonsense. I'd say he knew what the ring said, and he was wearing this to kind of wink-wink affirm his faith in Islam. I mean, that's certainly my first suspicion after I learned what the ring said. It's possible the ring was his grandmother's or grandfather's or something, and he wore it because it meant something to him emotionally. It's just, that doesn't seem to me to be nearly as likely the case.
Well,
not wearing a ring for 30 years. I've never worn any piece of jewelry for 30 years.
Yeah, it's just obscene, completely.
I've been married, you know, 21 years.
21 years.
that's, you know, but, you know, the idea that the 10 years before my wedding, or, you know, if I, to my bride here, if I had been wearing the same ring,
right,
she'd have said to me, you better get rid of that wig and and have one that, you know, means you're wed to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, she never would have buried me with somebody else's ring.
Well, doesn't this take us, I mean, you know, when we think, talk about it being the wedding ring and what you just said, no wife, it would seem, would, you know, want to allow that. I mean, you know, religious or non-religious would say to her husband.
No woman I'd want to marry would allow, no woman I'd want to marry would allow me to have somebody else's ring.
Well, does that, so that's, that was going to be my point. Doesn't that say something about their so-called marriage? You think, maybe?
I think so. I mean, I think the whole, I've written before and I've explored it with Obama. I mean, the reason I was thinking the ring was a homosexual deal was because all the reporting I've done, everything I'm getting out of Trinity Church, all the stuff about Larry Sinclair, is that Obama's homosexual. And that the marriage to Michelle is on this, you know, down low club,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is the black men who want to have sex with black men but don't want to appear to be homosexual, so they get, you know, Reverend Wright arranged marriages in the church with women who might not otherwise be married.
Now, on that, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you had some really reliable sources that told you about her. We talked about Obama and the bathhouses a little bit last time, but bring in a little bit more about Michelle, where she came from.
Well, Michelle is, you know, someone who grew up at Jesse Jackson's home. She was a friend of Jesse Jackson's daughter, and, you know, the sources I had said that Michelle just about was raised in Jesse Jackson's home, although it paid rent. And Jesse Jackson, as, with his power and the like, I'm sure got Michelle into the school she got into,
mm-hmm.
with both Princeton and Harvard Law School, and then got Michelle the job at this Sidley Austin firm where she met Obama. Obama was coming in as an intern of that firm at the end of his first year. But even then, you know, Obama, when he was in Moscow in 2009, said that he was married. He met Michelle. When they asked him how he met his wife, said he met Michelle in a class, classes together. Well, it's not the case. Michelle was finished at Harvard Law School in 1988 when Barack Obama was just arriving. They never took classes together. I mean, now, it's another thing that's always struck me as odd. I mean, I remember exactly the first moments I saw my wife-to-be.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think anybody forgets that time.
Well, I sure didn't. You know, I'd be dead.
Right, exactly. That's the kind of thing you want to make a mistake about.
Right, absolutely.
And it's one of those indelible memories in your life. I mean, that
right.
moment when you meet the person you're going to be married to is a pretty significant moment in your life. And even though it doesn't happen at that moment, it's the beginning of it. Usually that beginning moment stays with you.
Right, absolutely. I've been with my wife 27 years, going on 28, and I remember distinctively, you know, the very first time I saw her, and, you know, how enthralled I was with her and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what happens to most men and women, is that the first time we meet our spouses to be, it's a pretty significant moment in your life.
Well,
and you're going to remember that moment. Obama didn't remember that moment, made me think, well, this is an arranged marriage. He's telling another lie about his life because the whole thing is a lie and he can't remember the story.
Well, that's the problem, Jerome, about people that tell lies. They tell one lie and they forget what they told before and they go on. The truth just comes because it's natural, but liars always get hung up
right.
in their lies.
Exactly. And so, you know, Michelle then went, Michelle Obama, when she got very close to Valerie Jarrett, was another Jesse Jackson protege, and Valerie Jarrett brought Michelle into Mayor Daley's office, where she had a job. Michelle didn't have to do much of anything. And then each job subsequently that Valerie Jarrett had in the city of Chicago, ending up in the health department, Valerie brought Michelle along with her, and Michelle's ending up in this Chicago hospital's job where she's making over $300,000 a year, again doing nothing. And the this power complex, Valerie Jarrett was, of course, her father-in-law was Vernon Jarrett, who was a communist in the 20s and 30s and a friend of Frank Marshall Davis,
mm-hmm.
who was the mentor to Obama. And so there's a very tight little network here of people.
Well, this Valerie Jarrett that you bring up, in case the people don't know, I've read, and maybe it was probably through one of your articles, that basically she's kind of the one that's almost, some call her the de facto president, because she advises Obama.
No, she's like running the White House right now. They've chased out all the people from Chicago. Rahm Emanuel's gone back. He's now mayor of Chicago. They had a chief of staff for the Daley family. He's gone. And so the only one now left in the White House is Valerie Jarrett and Michelle, and Michelle's mother-in-law. And as far as I'm concerned, Valerie Jarrett is acting president.
Really? And so a little background on her. So she has a strong communist background, or what exactly?
Strong communist, strong leftist communist background. And they also were all partners in crime. Obama became this lawyer for Tony Rezko,
mm-hmm.
came back. Instead of getting a big prestigious law firm job when he graduated Harvard, which is hard to believe because Obama was the president of the Harvard Law Review. He should have gotten multi-million-dollar job, ultimately. Said he works for this dinky little firm in Chicago that's doing real estate for Tony Rezko. And Rezko's buying up low-income properties and borrowing money on them and not making the improvements and bilking the properties of the money. And Valerie Jarrett, at the same period of time, is buying up this Habitat project in South Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which she took some money out of, poor, low-income project.
Right.
But they ultimately had to tear it down. And Valerie Jarrett's property was in a land they thought that they were going to put for the Olympics in Chicago. Remember when Obama went over to Copenhagen to try to get the Olympics in Chicago and he failed?
Right.
Well, Valerie Jarrett was going to cash in on that scheme.
So they've been partners in crime quite a while. You know, it's amazing how all these facts are out there. And, you're just one
right.
person, and you come across all these. With all of the media out there, under normal, well, I don't know what you'd call normal, let's say under 20 years ago circumstances, there's no way he would have even made it into the White House, would he?
No, and of course, if he'd been a Republican, the
right.
media, just like they did with Sarah Palin, would have hired 20 people and investigated him. But because he's a Democrat and a far leftist Democrat, the media leaves him alone. He covers for him.
Completely. Just like they're covering
on. And Barack Obama's had a pass. He's had a pass on everything in this entire presidency. And then they use the defense that if you dare criticize Obama, you're a racist.
Yeah.
So they insulate him from criticism.
Right, right. Right, absolutely. We're going to go to a break here in a couple minutes. Where can they, I know it's what, worldnetdaily.com, but don't you have another website?
Yes, also 1776nation.com, 1776nation.com. I publish a lot of my material there for the Tea Party.
Oh, okay. And so you're, for the record, folks, you're involved with the Tea Party quite a bit, yes? No?
Yes, quite a bit.
All right. And they, folks, for one thing, I will say the Tea Party, people talk about all the incumbents and all those. I do have a lot of faith in these new guys, the Tea Party, that have went to Washington. Do you think that we're going to get some more in this election? Do you think, how do you feel about that?
Yes, I think it's going to be really important to get Paul Ryan into Washington.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be a major influence when we get Paul Ryan into Washington.
Well, from the looks of the election right now, it looks like we may, in fact, be able to get Paul Ryan in there and get rid of Obama, you think?
I think it's shaping up that way. I think the Obama campaign is going down fast.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about this when we come back in 3 minutes, and Jerome's got lots more for us. So we'll be back, folks, in 3 minutes with more from Jerome Croce. We'll be back.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
As in the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought, forgetting about the flood. In anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more. But little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their souls forever down. If you're one who put your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the other poor that come in looking for help. They're able to keep a roof over their heads, but they need other things like clothing for their children and sometimes first aid, medical attention, and all kinds of things, you know, job referrals. Many, many, they need prayers, they need Bibles. They come into us seeking for these various things. Help us care for the people that the Father sends us. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that has supported us for now 13 years that make this mission church work. And folks, now the weather has changed greatly and the needs have really increased. You know, it's not a question of getting ready ahead of time as a problem, but the problems of winter are already here and we need your help now. We are the last hope for so many. We are responsible all to care one for another as we are a brother's keeper. The Father does notice all donations that come from your heart. And folks, we need to all get out of this mentality to think that the government is going to take care of everything. It's always been, before the government took over everything, it was always the church and the Christians and our neighbors that took care of us when we ran out of work or whatever, helped us to find a job and gave us food baskets and so on and so forth. When the government took over those things, the whole scheme of things changed. Anyway, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And we're now back with Jerome Kersey. Are you still there with me, Jerome?
I'm still right here.
Okay, well,
I'm right here.
I always ask that question, but, you know, it's legitimate. Sometimes on live radio I came back and said, hey, are you still there? And I got nothing because I got cut off during break. But anyway, Jerome, one other thing I would like to ask about the ring. Yeah, I think it was in your second article about it. You said there was one anonymous person that questioned your report on it. Said maybe
on the ring.
Yeah, said maybe it was Photoshop.
Oh, I did get. I mean, yes, but it's not.
Well, I agree, it's not.
No, it's not. Someone said that they thought the picture was Photoshop, but no, it's. I was working right off of the ring that was there from his wedding. It was the 1992. His picture in Huffington Post. And we didn't Photoshop it or anything. We just took it exactly like it was.
Right, right.
Hold on one second.
What?
Okay, I'm all set.
Okay. Absolutely, folks, it wasn't Photoshop.
No, it was not Photoshop. It was the real photo. It was the exact one we were using. That's the exact one he used in his wedding. And that was the picture we'd used to show to experts to see what the ring said.
Okay. What I'm really curious about, any idea who, I forgot who it was that said that it came from that said, tried to say it was Photoshop. Do you remember?
We always get the Obama supporters. I mean, these Obots, I call them. And the Obama
O-bots.
Supporters, you know, they're like Obama robots.
Yeah, I got it.
And no matter what you write, they kind of swarm around and they immediately, you know, they immediately try to debunk and make your article look bad.
Right.
And the truth is, you know, they're just out there to raise questions and they're out there to, you know, raise doubts. And I suspect from time to time they're professionally paid because they latch on articles, they trash the articles in the forums, and they publish things that raise questions about, you know, your credibility or your honesty. And the truth is, you know, what I write is very well researched, and I'm not writing anything I don't believe to be. Everything I write, I believe to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a highly credible source. The only reason I brought that up is I just wanted to bring up that issue. In fact, if indeed that this was a false thing, you would think that the Obama administration would have had somebody really jump on this by now. But, you know, it's all for as strong.
Oh, sure. I mean, is this for false? They would have been out there with this and trying to, show the ring and to, you know, defuse the issue right away.
Right.
The Obama administration has done nothing to answer it. The story's been published in the Middle East. It's been published in Turkey. Story about Obama's Islamic ring in Israel. You know, it's in Saudi Arabia. It's all over the Middle East. So the Obama administration's done nothing to counter this story at all.
Well, nor have we heard it. So if it's been published all over the Middle East, you would think that if it wasn't true, you would think some, you know, Arabic person or something would have noticed. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Somebody else would have said something, and nobody else is saying nothing. And so, and you know, this also kind of explains why, you know, we would always hear them talk about Obama being their Muslim brother, you know, wondering how they knew it, and we didn't know it. Well, it was on his finger, you know. That's just I don't know.
Well, they always, you know, this is the point. If you go in the Middle East, you travel the Middle East, it's common knowledge. They all say Obama is Muslim.
Yeah.
It's common knowledge. And so when you say here that no, Obama's got to be Christian, everybody just laughs at you, because the point is, in Islam,
yeah,
you know, you've got this principle of taqiyya, which is you can fool infidels. It's okay to deceive and lie. I mean, as Christians, you know, we're taught not to lie, but in Islam, you're taught to lie as long as it advances the faith. You say, I'm Christian, when really you're not. You're Muslim. But you know that that's not the thing to say politically. So, you know, that's, again, within the Muslim faith, it's permitted to lie in those instances and say you're not Muslim even if you are.
Well, that, I mean, to a Christian, you know, people of faith, you know, this just seems so ludicrous. But isn't it about the same thing about his birth in Kenya? Isn't it almost common knowledge there that he was born there?
Yes, in Kenya, when I was in Kenya, again, it's common knowledge. Everybody says Obama was born in Kenya. And, you know, that's the common understanding. They've even had it in their parliament. They've said it. At his home village, they're building a monument to his birth in Kenya. Obama had his publicist, you know, the woman who was publicizing Obama's books, arranging interviews for him like this, mm-hmm, you know, the radio and print media, say for 16 years, published a biography of Obama that says Obama was born in Kenya. And that had to be authorized by Obama. She had to get that information from Obama. You know,
sure.
I write my biographies for publicists and books. A publisher doesn't know where you were born.
Right.
And so, and it wasn't a mistake, because you don't let it sit there for 16 years if they publish something wrong about you.
Well, I can
ridiculous.
Yeah, I can interject on this. It's just like the publicist for World Net Daily sends me the information about my guest speakers. And then I turn around and use that information when I introduce my guest. And so that would be the same
right
thing. Obama would have immediately corrected it if it was wrong. You know, I mean, that
exactly
couldn't have went on that wrong.
Would have gotten it corrected so it wouldn't be used again that way.
Right. But to go on with a mistake for how many years? 16?
16 years.
It couldn't go on past one interview, you would think.
Precisely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for 16 years, you would have to assume that Obama had that he was born in Kenya. That's what the publicist was saying, because that's what Obama wanted the publicist to say.
Right, absolutely.
And, if it was convenient for Obama to say he was born in Kenya when he was publicizing his books, maybe it was convenient for Obama to say he was born in Kenya when he applied to school at Occidental or Columbia,
yeah,
or to get foreign exchange, you know, tuition support.
Wow.
But we don't know, because Obama will not release any of those records.
Well, it's just so, it all just so startling to me. I mean, you know, now we got, it's like this. I remember when I was a young man, or, you know, when I was in school and they brought up, you know what I mean, the president was the highest person in the country that you look for as an example. And if a politician and they caught them in a minor little lie, then, you know, it was such big news. Now it seems to be, it just doesn't matter, I guess. But let's go into this. This 270-page intelligence report, this is just something else coming about.
Right.
Libya and lies. Go into this however you want, but isn't the whole thing a lie anyway?
Well, yes. I mean, see, we got the sources in the Middle East Census intelligence report, 270 pages. And the report actually names the Al-Qaeda operatives by name that killed Ambassador Stevens. We got to translate it in Arabic. And it was so explosive last week, we decided at WND to share it with the CIA. Mm-hmm. The CIA said they already had it.
They already had it, but
the president wasn't acting on it, wasn't telling anybody about it. I mean, the truth is, the CIA and the State Department have known from the first moments of this attack that it was Al-Qaeda. It was an organized attack by Al-Qaeda, and the idea that it was in response to some movie was just a lie. And it was a lie because Obama didn't want to admit the entire foreign policy of accommodating and appeasing the Middle East didn't work. So he tried to say, oh, they still love us in the Middle East, but they got upset about this movie. Well, that's nonsense. I've got the report, and I publish it, and I explain who the people are. You know, these two... The one guy who is funding Al-Qaeda runs a Mercedes dealership in Tripoli, Mercedes cars. And the other guy has been around the Middle East. We had him captured for a while. We let him go. And he fought in Afghanistan. And his brother, this was the second Al-Qaeda operative, his brother, his name is Abdul Hakim Dahaj. And his brother was the one who was killed by the drone in Pakistan, U.S. drone. So
right.
this operative, you know, Abdul Hakim Belhaj decided he was going to get even. He decided he was going to kill the ambassador. And the point is, what Obama's done, this entire Arab Spring, this entire lie that we were going to get democracy in the Middle East, when you get the truth, this intelligence report WND got is the truth. I mean, CIA has the document. They acknowledge it was true. The CIA acknowledges then that Obama's policies have just allowed the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda to become resurgent in Libya. I mean, whatever anybody thought about Gaddafi or Mubarak, for decades they had been our allies, and they kept Al-Qaeda out. And now Obama destabilized. He picked sides. We went in and fought alongside NATO, and we fought alongside NATO to get Gaddafi out of power, support the rebels, and all we did was no democracy in Libya. We just empowered Al-Qaeda to come in and kill our ambassador and harass the people.
Well, basically, let's go with this. Just from hearing just a little bit, and I'm going to try and put it simply. Technically, we put Al-Qaeda is, okay, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are who we're fighting against since 9/11, therefore our common our enemies. We also fought against Al-Qaeda in Iraq and some of these same people.
Right.
But now
same people.
We turned around and we armed, did we not, some of these same people during the Arab Spring, right?
That's right.
That's correct. Okay. And
they're using the same weapons now against us.
Right. And against us and kill Stevens with it. So, you know what? I'd almost call that, I'm not specifically calling anyone a traitor, but that seems like a kind of traitorous behavior.
Sure it is.
I mean, really? We actually did that? I mean, it's just astounding. The people that we fight against, we all of a sudden are friendly with them, you know? And it all makes a lot more sense with seeing who Obama is, seeing that he's really, you know, he must be a Muslim. Everybody says it. Even Madonna said that he was a black Muslim in the White House. I mean, not that she's overly intelligent. And I'm not slamming you or Madonna, but you see my point? If they can see it, then
sure.
They really expect us to believe that he isn't.
Well, that's the whole point. The whole point is that, again, the American people have been lied to. We were told that the Arab Spring was going to be democracy. But anybody who knew anything about the Middle East knew that once these countries were destabilized, that what was going to happen was that the radical elements were going to move in, like the Muslim Brotherhood, and they were going to bring Al-Qaeda with them, and it was going to cause more terrorism. So instead of getting democracy, we got more terrorism. And Obama should have known this. In fact, many people who are emailing me say Obama had to have intended this.
Right.
Otherwise, why would he have the policies he would have? The conclusion has become the entire idea that Obama has been secretly Muslim, that he's sided with the Muslims,
right.
He's opposed Israel, and again, you look at what's happening in Libya, and you see the lies going on, because we don't have democracy in Libya. We got a burning embassy,
right.
Got a dead ambassador, and we got chaos.
Right. We basically have radical Muslims coming now into power, right, in all of those countries.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Every one of these countries, same thing going on right now in Egypt. Egypt was stable. It was it was certainly not detrimental to Israel under Mubarak.
Right.
We got to go back to Israel. Remember when Anwar Sadat decided he was not going to fight Israel anymore, and then it was in the Carter administration, and then Anwar Sadat was assassinated watching a parade. Mubarak
right.
took over. And for decades, Mubarak has held Egypt. He's kept the Muslim Brotherhood out. He's kept Al-Qaeda out. And he's basically held stability with Israel. Now that Mubarak is gone, you know, we don't have democracy in Egypt. We've got the Muslim Brotherhood killing Christians.
Well, and weren't the, yeah, absolutely. And that's a pitiful thing. There's Christians, folks, that are in Syria. If Syria falls, I don't know where these Christians are going to go. Because a lot of them ran from the other countries to Syria. Talk about the Muslim Brotherhood for a minute. Michelle Bachmann, you know, stood up about the Muslim Brotherhood being on Hillary's staff. Although, you know, I did a program about it, cleared that back in 2011, and it seemed like it took a long time for it to come through. How is that going now? Are they still being outspoken about it, or have they been shut up?
Well, you see, the entire Muslim Brotherhood, which is Obama has allowed into the White House, and it penetrated the federal government. And once the Muslims get in the federal government, they'll hire more Muslims.
Right.
And we've had entire penetration of our national security apparatus. John Brennan, who is in there with Obama as our espionage, counterinsurgency, mm-hmm. terrorist expert. John Brennan has been in favor of Islam for a long time. And so the White House has been penetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood. We've been writing about this at WND for a long time.
Right.
And now you've got the Muslim Brotherhood coming into ascendancy in the Middle East. And it's all one club. Barack Obama knows this. Back when I wrote The Abomination, that Obama was close with Edward Said when he was alive, radical professor at Columbia,
mm-hmm.
pro-Palestinian, and then with Rafael Khalid, who again is another very active. He took Edward Said's position when Edward Said died. These were Obama's buddies. They were all radical anti-Israel
mm-hmm.
Muslims, and Obama fit right in the middle of them.
Wow. It's unbelievable. Is there any way for a common person that if we wanted to, like, Google and see, is there any way for us to know how many Muslims are, say, on staff at the White House? I mean, is there any way to get that kind of knowledge? I mean,
yeah, WND has written many articles. Just Google WND plus Muslim Brotherhood, and you'll see a lot that's been published.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, because I would like to comprise a list, you know what I mean, to post on my website, you know what I mean? And
just take a look. You'll be surprised how much we've written on that the last few years.
Well, I know
you've been following it. And
I follow.
And what's so remarkable today is that this article I wrote on Libya means WND, with the help of a few intelligence sources in Libya, we can identify the exact al-Qaeda suspects.
Really?
Who are most likely the killers. And here you've got the Obama administration and, you know, all of the CIA and everything else. CIA has this report, but you don't think Obama wants to hear this report in the White House?
No,
they don't want this information surfacing.
No, absolutely.
They don't want
to
catch the people. Down at the catch of, if the catch of the people will show the American public that al-Qaeda is not only resurfaced in Libya, but it's stronger than it ever was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question.
And that's the message here.
Here's a question. You know, my wife, you know what, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't get involved with, you know, she goes with whatever I say or whatever, but, you know, she listened about Obama and everything, and she's just infuriated. And this is her question. She says, well, even let's say that he gets voted out of office, will there be any follow-up, do you think, like, you know, or investigations into all of this after he's out of the White House, or they'll just kind of let him go?
Usually the truth comes out, and I'm not sure whether there'll be investigations. I'm not sure he'll be made to pay any consequences, but the truth will come out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Obama, I think the homosexual material will come out. I think his association with Islam is going to come out. I don't think Obama can hide these things forever.
Right.
And that's, I think, the key issue is that these things do eventually come out.
Right. Well, kind of like would it like this, meaning that some of these people that are kind of covering up, whether it's homosexuals or the Muslim thing, that are kind of covering up because Obama, as long as he's in the White House, it's useful for him to be there. But if he's out of the White House, it's their chance to fame, so to speak, to clarify.
Yes, and they want to claim that they were a lover of Obama or that they, you know, knew Obama was Muslim this whole time and worked with Obama and Islam. I mean, these things do come out. You can't keep the truth hidden forever.
Yeah.
It's just that right now, while Obama's in power, it's going to be very unlikely that any of this comes out.
Right.
But as soon as he's out of power, it's like Jack Kennedy. Look at Jack Kennedy.
Oh,
Jack Kennedy, the day he died, everybody thought he and Jackie Kennedy were madly in love and, you know, were faithful to one another. Well, now, 50 years later, even last year, someone was one of the lovers, an intern of the White House, Jack Kennedy was alive, wrote a book about how the affair with Jack Kennedy ruined her life.
Yeah, I read about
that. And so these things do come out. It's just that it takes a while, and the press and the powers that be protect these public figures while they're in office. Somebody knows. I mean, if you think about it, you know, Pastor Dan, look, I mean, how can you... If Obama is having homosexual lovers, somebody knows he's homosexual, that's a lover.
Right.
You know, if he's Muslim and he's working with other Muslims and it's all wink, wink, well, they know he's Islam. And again, it's only a matter of time until some of them start talking.
Right, absolutely.
Same thing with the ring. I mean, I figured out the ring. He's never said a word about this ring, as far as I can see, to anybody, even at Harvard, when he was questioned at it. But finally, you know, just with enough digging, and I'm trying to figure out what's this ring all about, I came up with the answer.
Hey, that's amazing. And now let's just for a brief second, we've got a couple, 3 minutes left. Those pictures that you used are in that article at World Net Daily, right?
Yes, I published, like all my articles, I published the evidence, I published the pictures. You can see all the pictures of Obama wearing this ring back through when he was at Occidental College. You can see the ring up close. You can see the wedding ring from Huffington Post picture from 1992 that I used to identify the ring, the one we showed to the Islamic experts that said, yes, that's, in fact, says there's no God but Allah. It's pretty remarkable to think you have the President of the United States wearing a ring for 30 years that, you know, started out saying there's no God but Allah.
That's just a myth. I would never have thought, listen, all of the stuff of this presidency, and I could pick out just one or two little points. Had I, somebody ever told me that we'd have a president that pulled any of this stuff 20 years ago, I would have just laughed him in, you know.
You never would have believed it.
Never would have believed it. Just like
I wouldn't either.
I'll tell you one thing that really, really amazed me, but really woke me up, was when all these strange people started, you know, getting access to the White House and everything, people that in my eyes could never pass a real security clearance.
Right.
But yet they're in the White House. Wow.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's very amazing.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, now then, one of these days we're going to have to talk about, we don't have time, but Ahmadinejad and the UN, we got to get that in one of these days. But it was great to have you on the program again, and I know you'll come back. And so thanks, and keep up the good work, Jerome. Please give your website again.
Sure.
I know they have one.
Website is
but the other.
WND. It's WND.com, and the 1776 Nation, and my new book, The Great Oil Conspiracy. It's all about the oil not being fossil fuel. It's an e-book, Great Oil Conspiracy, How the U.S. Government Hid the Nazi Discovery of Abiotic Oil for the American People. It's an e-book and hardcover available everywhere.
Yeah folks, and if you have not, our last interview, we talked about that, and you can still find that in the archives, and Jerome McDonald's, that last program still being hit really hard, so people are listening. Thanks again for being on, and now I got to say goodbye to the people, but goodbye and shalom to you, my brother. Bye. Well, folks, that was this tonight's program, but pray about supporting our Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help over there to help the poorest of the poor and people that are really trying to make it. Not all the people that we help are homeless, but so many of those people have roofs over their head, but they just can't make ends meet because of this economic situation that we're in. And just the other day, we just helped another girl that came to us, beautiful young girl, about 22 years old, and she had been abused, and she went to stay with her brother with her little doggy, and she stayed there until the landlord found out, and the landlord was a Scrooge and said, well, you can't have anybody else living in this at this address. So she got kicked out. She tried all the shelters. They're all full, let alone didn't want to take her with her puppy. And another girl that used to be homeless that was down there looking for clothes was there, and she says, Pastor Dan, remember, you helped me when that happened to me when I was 18. I'm going to help her. And so she gave her a room. And praise the Lord, that young girl was in an abusive marriage, and she can't find anybody to file a divorce for her. And so I'm going to help her file a divorce. I'm going to get the divorce papers and help her file it. Right now, we're looking for about $200 to cover the filing fee and to cover the papers. So if you want to help on that, send $200 and make sure you point out what it's for, say for divorce, okay? Anyway, always be a blessing to others. We must remember that there is only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. After he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through him is the only way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and then love your neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all in the law and the prophets. Amen. Anyway, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that Yahweh blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next time, this is Pastor Dan saying, goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.